You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to Event Talk, a show for event and meeting planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com and event management and attendee engagement software company. And this is Eric Dye. Today we are with Christy LaMagna, the founder and chief strategist of Strategic Meetings and Events, an event planning company that specializes in producing events that achieve clients' marketing and sales goals. With an ability to see the big picture while simultaneously understanding events down to the minutia, Christy's ability to create, market, and execute programs has made her a leader in the industry and is here today to discuss the event RFP process. Christy, welcome to Event Talk here on EPN.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
It certainly is, and thanks for joining us today. So we are discussing requests for proposals, or RFPs. To kick off the conversation, why should event and meeting planners use RFPs?
RFPs are a wonderful tool when a planner is unfamiliar with a particular area and is looking to gather as much information as quickly as possible as to what properties are in a particular destination. So what an RFP will allow you to do is cover a tremendous amount of territory in a fairly short period of time.
And in follow-up, is there a reason planners should not use RFPs?
There are reasons that planners should not use RFPs. The situation that I usually think about is if you already know that your client or that your company is going to lean towards a particular venue, or that your price point will only allow you to be at one of two venues in your particular destination, then to send out the RFP is a tremendous waste of the time of the people who are responding to it. So if you know that you are not truly looking for a venue and that you've already narrowed it down to one of two or a particular chain, you shouldn't cast a net that wide because it's just a poor use of everyone's time.
What would be essential pieces of a great request for proposals or RFPs?
An RFP has a lot of core logistic information in terms of the size of the group and the dates that you'd like to be there. But the essential pieces are going to be, are your dates flexible? What kind of ceiling height do you need in your ballroom? Because if everything else matches, the price is right, the dates are right, and you need 16-foot ceilings, but you forget to put that in your RFP, you get pretty far down the road before you find out that this actually isn't going to work. You also want to give some of the group history from years gone by so that the hotel can make sure that this piece of business truly is going to fit with their organization. And you do want to give them accurate information. If you know you're only going to use 100 room nights, you can't put in 150 room nights to make the piece of business more attractive, and then after you start the conversations, change that information. So history is important. Accurate data is important. Ceiling heights are important. Those are the top things I would recommend.
And what tools do you use or recommend to manage the process?
There are so many services out there that can manage the can send out the RFPs for you. So some of it depends on how the proposals are sent out. We create grids so that we know who has responded. We keep track of not just who responded and had appropriate space, but who either didn't respond or responded and did not have appropriate space. So we can always go back to the client and say, here are the top three. We sent this out. We had 30 responses. 20 of them were discounted, and here are the reasons. And that will do you a favor, because if you have to search that place again, you'll immediately have something to refer back to. I would say that whatever tool it is that works best for your brain, if you want to do it web-based, that's fabulous. If you, in conjunction with, you know, an automated RFP process that you're using, if you create an Excel grid, whichever way works best for you is what you should use, but you have to track the replies. It's an incredible amount of information that comes in all at once, but it's essential that you're organized and you track all those details.
Now today we are with Christy LaMagna, the founder and chief strategist of Strategic Meetings and Events, an event planning company that specializes in producing events that achieve clients' marketing and sales goals, here on Event Talk, a show for event and meeting planners, brought to you by eventinterface.com. Now, Christy, in general, do you conduct the RFP process yourself, work through a local convention and visitors bureau or other? and which path provides you with the most success?
I think that each meeting needs to be treated as its own individual component. So I won't always send something out to a CVB. If I know the area and I know that my client is going to lean towards a particular chain, I'll let the CVB know that I'm coming to town, but I won't have them do the work for us. If we find that we don't know a particular area, we absolutely lean on the CVB to give us information that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to gather. If I have a client who knows they're going to a particular chain but who is going to have off-site events, I will then channel the request for the off-site events through the CVB because they may know of the latest and greatest hottest spots that I would not be aware of. So sometimes I will send my RFP to my national or my global sales rep. Again, that's if I know that it's going to go towards a particular chain. But more often than not, I do use a local CVB because their whole purpose is to make our life easier and to sell their destination. So who better to use than a CVB? I do make sure that I know if the CVB is using paid vendors or if it's open to everyone, because that sometimes causes me to just pay a little bit more attention to who they're recommending.
If there was an opportunity of where you could give your respondents advice on what not to do in responding to an RFP, what would that be?
One of the things that, as someone who receives the completed RFPs, one of the things that I can tell you that's very frustrating is if you specifically say, these are my dates, this is my pattern, this is my price point, to have hotels respond and say, we don't have your dates in March, but if you're flexible and can come in April, or our ceilings are not 16 feet high, but we've responded anyway, it's a tremendous waste of their time. It's frustrating to us because we have to comb through all those proposals. My thought would be, if you have received an RFP and you truly are not the right fit for it, don't try and force something. If the planner has clearly stated, these are my parameters, and you don't fit, send a thank you note to say, thank you for including us. Next time around, if you need a venue that specializes in this, we'd love to be top of mind. But don't send a response if you know that you don't meet the basic criteria and that the planner has taken the time to outline.
Now, once the responses are in, how do you evaluate the responses?
We look at the responses with a few things in mind. One of the things that we find is everything is perfect on paper. When you have someone who responds quickly, responds with, here are some ideas, here are some options, and you can see that they're already being creative, they're already working with you to try and create a relationship to make this meeting a success, that's very helpful. If the responses are complete and thorough, we acknowledge that because a lot of times we'll look at something and it will only be half filled out. And we also just pay attention to, again, the tenor of the person who responded. Was there a note once they got the RFP saying, we've received it, we'll get back to you? Was there a follow-up after sending the RFP? Would you like me to walk you through it? Do you have any questions? A lot of it is the facts, but the other piece of that is the human element and how do we perceive the hotel as being for a partner as we go forward.
In closing, what are your top three tips in the creation and management of the RFP process for an event or a meeting?
I think that accurate information is obviously imperative. One of the things that planners will sometimes do is if their executives say, we need to have a meeting in May and we want to do it in Arizona, and you know that those executives have a tendency to change their mind, I would say do not send out the RFP until you believe that the criterion that you're sending out have settled and that this is a true, this is where we're going set of information. You absolutely, just like you want to get a sense of what the group, the hotel is like that's responding to you, you want to give a sense of the group that's coming to their property is like. So give them a history of the group, and we are a technology company. This is a sales meeting. This is the goal. Let them get a sense of who this group is, because then, again, just like that RFP that comes back to you completed with that little personal touch may be helpful, as you send out that RFP to have a bit of a personal touch and give them a sense of the group is also very helpful. And tell them what is important to your group. We list out, here are the top three things that this group is looking for in a hotel. For some groups, it's price point. For some groups, it's incredible customer service. For other groups, it's, you know, your spa has to be world class. Don't assume that the hotel values the same thing your group does, because every group is different. So make sure you tell them what's important to you, so that if, as they respond, they can demonstrate that.
Great information. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about strategic meetings and events online, and also to be in potential contact there as well?
Your listeners can get more information about strategic meetings and events by going to www.smeplanners.com, and they can reach me at christy.lamagna@smeplanners.com.
Very good. Certainly appreciate all the valuable information on the event RFP process. We have been speaking with Christy LaMagna, the founder and chief strategist of Strategic Meetings and Events, an event planning company that specializes in producing events that achieve clients' marketing and sales goals. And the website, once again, for reference, is smeplanners.com. Christy, thanks so much for joining us here today on Event Talk on EPN.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And on the next episode of Event Talk, we will be with Al Winant once again, CEO of Event Interface, on how to use technology to generate additional event and meeting revenue. And thanks for joining us once again on this episode of Event Talk, a show for event and meeting planners, brought to you by EventInterface.com, an event management and attendee engagement software company. And this has been Eric Dye. This show is supported by EventInterface.com, event management and attendee engagement software. Forget registration transaction fees. Start managing registrations and attendees today for a low monthly fee. Sign up at EventInterface.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.